Hi, it's Phil Hendry, and all of the voices that you will hear performed on our show today will be performed by me. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you, Phil, and this is Margaret Gray. I think a little bit of your voice is,
Still kind of crapping out a little bit.
But it's much better. This is Margaret Gray. Welcome to the program. I say Phil's voice is crapping out, which makes my voice crap out.
And this is General Galen Shaw.
I'm Robert Leonard.
I'm Bud Dickman. Here's Mr. Phil Hendry, the man of a billion voices. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say a billion voices.
Hardly a billion voices. Anyway, welcome to the show. And I am Phil Hendry. And I did have a crapped out voice there for a while.
Wait a second, this is that Jesus.
What's the matter?
I thought this was my favorite band is Slipknot.
Swimming through the void, we hear the word. We lose ourselves, but we find it all.
Oh, that's right, the general doesn't like this. But why is that, General?
I don't like this guy, he's like, da-da-da-da-dee.
Well, you see, the general thinks the singer in this band is a bit overly dramatic.
A little cartoonish?
Yeah. He sounds like he's trying to be in a cartoon show or some deal, you know?
I'm talking about, man, that's System of a Down. That's one of the top bands of all time.
Yeah, leave me be in a cartoon show. That's idiotic.
No, Dickman, the only thing idiotic here is you, Dickman, when you look at me with that goon face and you're all, Dickman, I'm the intellectual here. When it compared to you and me, I'm Albert Schweinstein and,
You mean Albert Schweinstein?
What's the guy's name?
Albert Einstein?
That's the guy, yeah. Well, who was Schweinstein?
Albert Schweitzer?
What is it with you all of a sudden knowing this stuff?
Yeah, but Sarah, how come you know that?
Oh, I don't know. I've read books and things.
Don't give me that load.
Anyway, what's your point?
I forget what it was.
You're seeing how dumb I am and how smart you are, which, you know...
Which what?
Well...
Okay, welcome to our program. So that was System of a Down, and it's called Sunshine, and this is the Phil Hendry Show, and we're happy to be with you, and forgive me for the time that we did take off, but I had a problem there.
Yeah, but Sarah, you said that when you got a flu shot.
Yes, now this is something you have to answer for.
You said you got the flu shot, that you would be fine, and you'd be beautiful, and everything's all right and out of sight. Well, now hold on, man. And then we find out that ain't true.
Yeah, you said everything be out of sight.
Wait a minute, man, I'm done. You said everything be out of sight, uptight and out of sight.
Yeah, Saturday night.
What are you guys doing with the uptight? I said the flu shot would help me when it came to surviving the flu, and I wouldn't get a lot of these extra infections and colds and things like that, which is true. Now, this cold that I have is has been much shorter in duration. It's been much, much easier to deal with than most of the colds that I've had. And what is this, bud?
Well, I got Mr. Hall on the phone. Mr. Hall, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I thought you knew.
Thought I knew.
No, well, I knew.
I know you knew, Dickman. I thought he knew.
Did you know?
Did I know what?
That I'm coming on the air.
No, I did not.
Well, I'm coming on the air. Now, here's one of the things.
Hey, well, hold on for a minute, Hall. We're still talking.
General, with all due respect, you know, I'm running the show here, if you don't mind. I'll run the show.
No, I'll run the show, David.
All right. Well, next to you. How about me?
No, I think then the general, then the Margaret, then Bud, then Robert, then you.
Oh, my God, I'm after the Black Knight.
Hey, what's that supposed to mean? And how come I'm last?
Didn't mean that literally. And what do you mean you're after the Black guy?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. What I'm trying to say...
I hung up on him.
Well, did you really? I knew it was you, because he can't hang up.
Mr. Hall is now messaging me. Hold on. May I please come back on? I'm really sorry.
What is this show, anyway?
Well, it is your invention. It is all yours. Remember, I do all the voices. Oh.
Yeah, hey. Good point.
All right, let him back on. David G. Hall, back with us. Okay, David, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Phil. You're right. Robert, I was just screwing around. I swear to God, I was. My point is this. You said you were going to get this flu shot. Did you go up to the ENT?
I have not been to the ENT yet. I tried something else.
No, wait. You didn't do that neti pot.
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. It was recommended to me by a number of people.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
Now, I think I know sort of what the neti pot is. What is that?
It's when you pour hot water into your nose.
Yeah, and nothing but snot pours out the other. Oh, man.
Well, it sounds like it might work pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it works or if it doesn't. It's nothing that I want to have anything to do with. I told Phil to go after the doctor and get some shots, get some pills, get, you know, a whole lot of medicine. And he goes out and he's pouring hot water up his nose. Ah!
Well, I'll tell you this much, man. Having suffered through a lot of sinus infections as I have, Man, that was a beautiful thing. Where are you anyway?
Hold on for a minute. I'm at the mall right now. I got my daughter. We're buying. Where are you going to get that, and that? I'm getting some See's candy. You like See's candy?
Yeah, it is pretty good.
I didn't ask you, bud. Phil?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Well, are you going to buy us some?
No.
Thanks a lot, David.
But the neti pot.
So the neti pot.
What do you mean the neti pot?
I don't know what that is. My aunt used that a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, you pour it, you know, you fill it with hot water, and you got to let it cool down because you're going to pour this stuff in your nose. And it is pretty disgusting.
Yeah, pour it in your nose and all the snot come pouring out.
Man, that sounds bad.
Well, you know what? There are worse things in life than having snot coming out of your nose. You either blow it out of there.
All right, can we please clean it up?
Well, it's not exactly obscene, Margaret, but okay.
Just clean it the hell up, all right? Just clean it up.
I'm only talking about the neti pot.
Just clean it up.
All right, well, you pour the hot water in your nose.
Yeah, then the snot comes out.
Oh.
And,
yeah, then what about it?
Well, all the bad stuff comes out.
Yeah, that's essentially it. You know, I remember I went to, I was on vacation one year, and I went to Mexico because I decided that was the only place I could go to be on vacation, that I would be happy, and that I could go and get drugs in a pharmacy, and I didn't have to screw around talking to a doctor.
What?
I'll say it again, man.
You went to Mexico, so you could just walk into a pharmacy and get whatever you want.
I went to Mexico, and there was a pharmacy right across the street from the hotel I was in. And I went across the street to this guy, and he gave me some, I forget what it was.
Just any old drug, is that it? They don't have doctors in Mexico?
Of course they do. Of course they do.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's smart. So you walk up to some guy in a smock and what?
I told him what I had, and he said, here, try this. He threw a bunch of stuff at me.
Jesus, Henry.
I'm kidding. He knew what the symptoms were generally for a cold. I think I got something like tetracycline, you know, one of those old antibiotics. And so I got this, but then I went back, and I went in the ocean. I went swimming. And I tell you, I didn't take any of that tetracycline. All I had to do was go swimming in the ocean, and I felt great, bud. What do you think of that?
What? What does that mean?
I'll tell you what it means. I went into the ocean, and as I was swimming, I got all that salt water up my nose.
Ah, yes, the saline solution.
Oh, it's like a gigantic neti pot.
Yeah, the ocean went, well, not really, but it was all that salt. You know, they tell you to gargle with salt water and stick salt water up your you-know-what, and...
Well...
No, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, that's what swimming in the ocean is. It's putting salt water right up your nose while you're swimming around in it, and that's what happened, and I felt fantastic. That my sinuses cleared up that night. I don't ever think I really did, use any of that antibiotic. So anyway, that is the story there, and we're here, and we're great. I've just cleared my throat again.
Yeah. No, it was that, sir.
I don't have to watch jack shit, man. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do.
Phil, why don't you watch your language, watch all the clearing of the throat, watch, you can watch TV when you're not doing it.
I tell you what I'll do is you can tell if the throat is still a little bit bad, but it's still, in other words, what's happening is it gets worn out, I think.
Well, you're using it a lot, Phil. You're using it much, much more than you have over the last few days.
Right, but I think we're going to make it. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. But right now,
Phil Hendry Show traffic.
Let's go over and do some traffic with Bob Baking. Bob.
Hey, Phil, right now they're up the freeway. We got a darn up there. It's a turnip in the road. If you have any people, empty vegetation. If you want to get a stew bait or something like that, we got to do it. We got downtown. Those turnips will be up there. They're getting ripe about mid season. Go out and pick some. Up here on the highbound freeway. It's in town and good friend. You're in town. Are you in town? If you're in town, you should be driving on the freeway. If you're not in town, you don't need to listen to the freeway because the freeway is not going to speak for you. And you want that? No freeway really listens. All right, let's go to Skyboy.
Hello, Bob. I got trapped in the rain, and I'm trapped inside a crashing helicopter here. I'm going through a bit. Feels pretty good, though, don't it? I'll go outside and see a bit. It's going to be a wonderful day here in downtown. Let's go to Sky, baby. And I got a voodoo, too, in the back of the desk.
Yeah!
The beautiful sounds of the Wilson Sisters. The Wilson Sisters sing so spiritually pure and clean and sweet that you'll be uplifted even as you're flattened and leveled. Even as you spend that money, you'll find yourself weeping, extolling the virtues of the Wilson Sisters. Those are the only sounds from the album that we can play for you. If we play any more, you'll become so sweetened and purified, you'll rot.
Hello, I'm Hank Barton, and I am the music reviewer for the New York Times. I've never heard anything so great in my life as the Wilson Sisters. Listen to the way they sound with a beautiful sound of what they sound like. I don't even think they're human. The Wilson Sisters. Pick it up on record or tape.
The Wilson Sisters. Digital download, record, tape, whatever technology's out there.
Don't miss the Wilson Sisters this Saturday night at
the Flamingo Concert Center in Flamingo, Nevada.
That's the Wilson Sisters at
Flamingo Concert Center.
What the hell is this, man?
Is this Striper?
I don't know what it is, but it's orchestral, isn't it?
Yeah. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Thank you, David G. Hall, for your meaningless,
Very upset that you hung up on him.
I don't care, man. Dean Wheeler is joining us. He'll be getting on the line here with us momentarily, I should say, from the Northern California Holistic Center. We're very, very, as I mentioned, we're glad to be back with you following, just really frustrating, voice problems and stuff, but I guess it's good that we haven't been on the air.
Well, the news has been so rotten, just rotten to the, it used to be, what did you tell about that cartoon character?
Yeah, what about that cartoon character, Mr. Henry?
What cartoon character?
You know, the one that you used to watch when you were a little boy, on Sheriff John.
Oh, yeah. You mean Krabby Appleton?
Yeah, there you go. Krabby Appleton, rotten to the core. Man, that's some high comedy there. That was great.
Yeah, well, there you go. So you think the last few days have been like that, huh?
Last week has been Krabby Appleton, rotten to the core, and let's just hope that everybody just, gets their stuff together.
Yeah, it's been lousy, man. So I guess if you're going to have a cold or whatever the hell it was that I had, a sinus infection, this, that, or something else, man, you might as well have it on a week like this, because it just sucked, I'll tell you that. Dean Wheeler with the Northern California Holistic Center on the line with us right now, and Dean also operates the Wheeler Resort. Dean, how you doing?
Phil, very good. I'm glad to hear that you're feeling better, and hello to everybody.
Yes, Dean, how are you?
I'm great.
Hey, Dean!
Yeah, hi, how you doing? RC, or whatever your name is.
I'm Bud! RC!
It's Bud Dickman.
Oh, yeah. And General Gaw, how are you?
What do you mean, General Gaw? General Shaw!
I forgive me. Robert, what are you doing?
Yeah, you got my name right.
Well, I did get your name right because I'm careful to not mess up the African-American names.
Is that how it is? His name's Robert. That's not exactly an African-American name. I appreciate that, but you treat everybody equally.
Yeah, right, sure. I'll tell you, Phil.
Well, what's going on with you?
Well, what's going on with me is this. I have been, as you know, in the midst of trying to get the spas and the pools around here cleansed and clean. We had that toxic algae bloom, Phil. That's what I thought was some kind of a disease that had been given to us by some of these couples that are in our, what we call the lust tub.
What is the lust tub? God almighty.
Is that the tub where the, what is that? That's not off that lust wing, is it?
Well, yeah, it is.
The lust tub.
Yes, the lust tub. And I apologize for that.
What have you done about apologizing to me?
Well, I apologize to your listeners, anyone listening. The lust tub is a place where a lot of couples like to go and, let's say, be more intimate and privately so. And I can't, I can't fault them for that. They want it, they get it. It costs extra. But then what happened was, Phil, we had an attack of this toxic algae bloom, which I thought was actually some sexually transmitted disease. We had one particularly large couple.
Wait. What do you mean you thought was a sexually transmitted disease?
Just what I said.
I mean, you don't know what toxic algae bloom looks like.
Toxic algae bloom is like this crud in the water.
Yeah, I know it's this crud in the water. I got two, excuse me for saying, I had two pretty big people in there, and they were having sex at a time that I didn't particularly approve of. Especially when we came around the corner.
But you said you encouraged that.
Well, we don't encourage it, but we let people do that. That's why it's called the lust tub. But I had no idea, no idea at all, that what was about to take place in the lust tub...
Well, I mean, what are you talking about? They're too large?
It was a fairly... I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. When two 300-pounders are going at it...
All right, okay, Dean. So, and then the next day...
Then the next day I saw this green slop in the water, and I thought, God, and I called up Emeralda, and I said, get me the name of that couple. I know they came in from Wilton Manor.
Where is Wilton Manor? Is that Florida?
Yeah. And,
okay, so you... I don't want to hear their name on our air.
I'm not going to give their name on the air. But I said, give me the names. And she gave them to us, Mr. and Mrs. And...
What did I just get done telling you?
Jesus, are you stupid, Wheeler?
Oh, all right, well... It doesn't matter. I mean, they're long gone.
They're long gone, but somehow, some way, down there in Wilton Manor, someone's bound to bang on the door and tell them that their name is mentioned.
All right, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you, but I...
Well, here's what you can tell me. Can we edit that out, bud?
Yeah, we can edit that. No sweat.
All right, we'll cut it out, and here's what you can tell me. Give me their name and their address and everything so I can call them and head them off and let them know what happened so that we don't, maybe we can talk to them about... making this right with them so that they don't turn around and sue me.
What did you just say?
Never mind. So you found in the water...
Yeah, we found in the water this algae bloom, and I went, my God in heaven, look at that. And Emeralda said, I remember, what'd you do? You screamed, did you? She went like, ah, and then calmed down. I said, it can't be that bad. So we drained the tubs out, and I called in this kid, Ricky, who himself was a Floridian, right? And I said, look, Ricky, this is day 5. You've been cleaning our pools, and you haven't gotten this algae. I said, I want you to get out of the Speedo, take off the gold chain. You're in California now. You're not in Florida. Clean the slop now. Clean the slop now. And I repeated it 3 times.
All right, so Ricky took off his gold chain and his Speedo, then what?
Well, then he started cleaning it out. And it turned out it was this toxic algae bloom, which is also from Florida. So I'm not entirely convinced that this couple, although I know it wasn't some disease they put in there.
All right, let's hold on for a minute. You're trying to tell me that this couple, they had sex in the lust tub.
And you said that that's what the lust tub is for.
Jesus.
Well, don't give me the yes, that's what the lust... But not at... I didn't know... I don't know what to tell you. I did not expect to see 200-300 pounders in there, that's all.
Is there a time frame where people can go into the lust tub and get it on?
Yes, there is. It's from 10 p.m. I don't know. What time is it? From Emeralda says it's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., right? 10 a.m.
What do you mean, 10 a.m. to 1? That's a late morning.
Oh, I mean, it's 10 p.m. Yeah, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
3 hours.
Yes, that's about right. Jeez. You think you need more than that?
No, but what I'm saying is that tub used by more than one person?
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to tell you.
What is that supposed to mean? I'm on your show, Phil, to try to promote my resort. And you go, oh, Jesus?
All right, so, Wheeler, what's the upshot on all of this stuff? You got 200-300 pounders in there.
Yeah, 200-300 pounders. And the pool boy comes down and cleans out this algae mess from the lust tub. And the reason why I'm getting into this story is because I had been watching A.B. Stoddard on our resort television. And I'm a big fan of A.B. Stoddard's. And this came right in the middle of an A.B. Stoddard marathon that I was watching.
You know, Dean, you're not making any sense.
Dean, what is the point of this story?
The point of the story is that I had two tubs, 200-300 pounders in the lust tub, and it busted up an A.B. Stoddard marathon I was watching.
An A.B. Stoddard marathon. Now, who is she?
A.B. Stoddard's the lady...
Yeah, she's the lady that does a talk show and a commentary on Fox.
She does some political commentary. She's also the daughter of Brandon Stoddard, who was the great ABC television executive.
Oh, okay, I know who she is.
Right. And I think she's hot. I think she's hot as living hell. And as a matter of fact, Bud, I sent an MP3 of A.B. Stoddard. Can you go ahead and roll that? I don't know if you're going to be able to roll that or not, but...
Yeah, stand by. A.B. Stoddard, and she's on this is A.B. Stoddard.
Republicans, it's a way in this election cycle to, if a pro-choice Democrat can't come out and say, I'm pro-choice, but this is really
wrong.
And I'm sickened by this. Then this is an opening for Republicans to use this issue election. It is not, let's talk about abortion rights or Roe v. Wade. It is, let's investigate whether or not they are selling body parts at Planned Parenthood. And
knock it off, Dean, or I'm going to find you and leave you where I find you.
Everybody in the party who are silent on this.
All right, so that's A.B. Stoddard. She's a blonde. She's a very attractive girl.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about AB, and you heard her there talking very, you know, I used to be pro-choice, but I don't think I'm going to be anymore.
Now, wait just a minute. She's talking about something that has since been debunked and has been completely and utterly brought out to be untrue, the selling of body parts by Planned Parenthood.
Well, I don't know. AB started was right there in front of your very eyes.
That's an old clip, Dean, from a way back when people were yapping about this Planned Parenthood horse. It turned out to be horse dung.
All right, well, the fact is that she convinced me anyway to become pro-life. And my wife, you know, Emeralda...
Hold on for a minute. What do you mean she convinced you to be pro-life?
Well, she did, because she...
...of the Hill and syndicated columnist Charles Krauthammer. AB, there's been plenty of reaction.
Bud.
Republicans out saying this is leads to the defunding of Planned Parenthood.
Now, this is a guy here,
others
you know who
saying,
Brett Baer is, Phil?
This is horrific.
He's got a head that's the same shape
what
as this guy
fallout?
Pence.
Well, the fallout is on
yeah,
the Democrats.
Babe.
Get out of here with this. God.
What is up with that guy?
I don't know, and I don't care, and I don't know, and I've been told big leg woman ain't got no soul. All right.
Well, aren't you the blues man?
So anyway, thank you very much for that, Dean. What is the whole thing with A.B. Stoddard, anyway?
Well, he said A.B. Stoddard, he's a big fan of hers. And the whole reason why he got upset with the lust tub is he's in, I guess, up there in the restaurant watching a A.B. Stoddard marathon. You know,
what is an A.B. Stoddard marathon? He put that together?
Yeah, put together with YouTube clips. Yeah, and so he's watching it, and the word come in from the lust tub, the 200-300 pounders were going at it.
You know something, I think that, I don't know, and I can't be sure, but I think that you, and Mr. Wheeler put all of this together to have a juvenile laugh.
No, I swear to God, Miss Gray, I swear to God.
No, to have a juvenile laugh at the hands of this poor young woman, A.B. Stoddard, for whatever reason, and to make fun of big fat...
Well, look, you know, if there were 200-300 pounders going at it...
Oh, I don't think there were 300 pounders going at it. And any idiot knows that toxic algae bloom can't be transported by people.
Well, I don't know, but I don't doubt what you're saying, Margaret.
I can assure you, Phil, and I think that this is an example of Dean. Once again, Dean is mentally gone, and as a matter of fact, but we could play the conversation that I had with him here last week. We were pre-taping for the special, and he was going on and on about, I like it like that.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah.
Not that song.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if we have, do we have the time for that?
No, I got time. Yeah, this bill, when it was last week, I can put it on here in just a moment, but this is what he was doing, singing it.
All right, let's roll that now. You needed to have the title of the album reflect a song on the album itself.
Yes, that is correct. That's why I've decided to do I Like It Like That as a song. So I've got the instrumental track. Let's do it again here. And I think you're going to appreciate what we've done with this. It's going to be...
All right, now hold on for a minute. Cut. He did this already.
Oh, yes, I know he did it already, but he's still on about it.
Yeah, you can believe it, Mr. Andy. He's still on about it. There.
All right, yeah.
And he's on about it.
He still thinks it's a song.
All right, here it is, Margaret. All right. I dedicate this to A.B. Stoddard.
See, right there.
Oh, man.
I like it like that. I really like it like that. I like it like that. I really like it like that. I like it live.
All right.
Well, Phil, that is an example.
I don't need to hear the whole song to hear how mentally unhinged that asshole, if you'll pardon the expression, if you'll pardon the word.
Yeah, Phil, it's not exactly an expression.
It's a vulgarity.
Oh, well. If you don't mind, I don't want to hear the whole I like it like that.
Then you have heard it.
Yes, I've heard it. Don't you remember we had that clown on the show? There's something wrong with him, man. First of all, his marriage is going to hell. That's what I'm getting.
There's no question that the marriage is going to hell. He resents all the work he does for Emeralda. I don't think he does as much as he says he does. And God knows his work is not translated to any great success for her.
You know, I've never heard that woman sing. Out of all the times we've talked about her...
Well, you know, there's a really good point.
Yeah, never heard her sing.
Well, Phil...
No, I've never heard her sing. So one of these days, I don't know when, I'd like to hear the woman sing. It would be nice. We're going to be right back at a world-famous Phil Henry show with more on this show returning back. If it sounds a little scratchy with the throat, I apologize, but, you know, we're just coming out of a really bad infection I had on my, I don't want to say where it was, but...
Was it somewhere private?
I don't know. No, in my chest. It was. That's what it was. All right, we're going to be right back here. World-famous Phil Henry show, philhenryshow.com. Famous Phil Henry show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back. Are you looking to get great crockware and glassware at cut-rate prices? Martico's is the place in downtown Sesselby that has beautiful crockware, beautiful plateware, glassware, and where? Martico's in Sesselby. That's where your glassware and crockware can be found. Where? At Martico's in Sesselby. The crockware and the glassware and the plateware is beautiful. I don't know what crockware is. I could care what it is, but I think it's something you drink grog out of. Also, we have place settings, napkins, everything to make your home a beautiful and comfortable one. Come to Martigo's in Sesselby. You take the Turner exit, go 6 miles to Squash, and then hang a left, and you'll see us right there at the corner of Burner and Wilson. That's Martigo's Crockware, Plateware, Glassware.
Where?
At Martigo's in Sesselby.
Martigo's in Sesselby.
Visit Martigo's in Sesselby in downtown Culver City today.
Once upon a time, a girl with sunlight in her eyes put her hand in mine, I felt something wet and warm. Oh, well, once upon a time.
Yes, the vocal stylings of Roger Babcock. Roger Babcock, 3 nights at the Ogilvy Lounge in Las Vegas.
A long, long time ago.
Roger Babcock at the Ogilvy Lounge. 3 shows, 9, 11, and then 2. And if he gives us any lip at all, he'll have to do a 4th show, and that's at 4 a.m. And that's rough. Rough on a guy after he's had his fingers broken for dating one of the crew's wives.
Once upon a time, a girl with moonlight in her eyes put her hand in mine. I felt something warm and gooey.
Yes, Roger Babcock, this weekend at Ogilvy's Lounge in Las Vegas, Nevada. Come on out, spend money on drinks, dinner, gamble next door at Rooters, which is one of the great croupier hangouts. They win, you don't.
But that was once upon a time. A long, long time ago.
Roger Babcock, Ogilvy's Lounge in Las Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Reno.
Hey, Mom, what's that?
Well, it's a sandwich I'm making for your father. You know what a sandwich looks like.
Not really. I've never seen a sandwich piled that high with tasty delectables.
It's from Himmler's House of Meats. Look, there's salami, bologna. There is some of the Lebanese bologna that you like.
Wow.
There's some of the pepperoni. There's some of the hard cheese, hardtack, rhino, red onion, and bread.
That looks delicious. Make me one?
Hardly. This is a big sandwich I only make for your dad, because once he eats this, the breath on that guy, weeks, honey. So if I've got your stinking mouth to worry about, and I've got to get you off to school...
Hey, Mom, you're almost sounding like a guy now.
Really?
Oh!
Himmler's House of Meats. It's good for everyone. Meet and greet at the meat place. Himmler's House of Meats.
Gonna get on the line with us here from Butner Lake. You know, Bobby has been up at Butner Lake, I don't know for how long now, but is enjoying herself immensely. And we want to hear a little bit about the cabin. Now, I don't know whether this is, I'm not going to laugh about this or anything, but Bobby, what happened up there?
Well, General, we were having cocktails. I was having a boobin.
You're talking about bourbon? It's a bourbon, Bobby.
I'm sorry, yeah, bourbon. And Steve was having a double boobin, or a bourbon, and...
I had a boobin.
No, you had a bourbon. That's what fell in the general.
All right.
And Steve had just purchased a fire pit from Guy Peabody. Okay. Margaret, you know Guy.
Yes, I know Guy Peabody. He does a lot of the fire pit work, right?
Yeah. And Guy does beautiful work, absolutely lovely work. The water features he does around the fire pits. He does beautiful stonework. And we put in this patio in the back of the cabin that we wanted to have for entertaining, you know, Phil, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Well, some of us like to entertain, Phil.
All right, we know, Ms. Dooley. We just want to hear the rest of the story.
All right, well,
So, Steve, you want to pick it up from here?
Yeah, I've got a boobin.
It's called a bourbon.
It's called bourbon, Dooley, please. Please don't mispronounce it again. It really makes me angry.
All right, fuck.
He just said fuck. Is that all right, Phil?
No, it wasn't all right for him or you, but I guess we got to live with it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I had a bourbon, and Guy Peabody, by Peabody came up, and...
What is his name, Vi Peabody?
No, Guy Peabody.
That guy's name is Guy Peabody.
That the guy's name? Will you guys forget about it? Guy Peabody, go ahead.
Yeah, Guy Peabody. And he had installed a gas, the fire pit, and we were very much looking forward to it. We'd invited over Jack Isabel and his wife Cleo, and had a couple of the guys over from Turner's Bait Shop, and it was going to be a lot of fun. And I was cooking burgers, and I had burgers, and I had and I had shish kebab too, of the things that we were going to eat, and we had the bourbons.
What is it? If you don't mind me asking, what is it with you and bourbon? You guys are
well. What do you mean?
You don't know about bourbon?
What is there to know?
Well, it's a very sophisticated drink. And we found out that it was a very sophisticated drink to have in the 1960s. Well, that's true, darling. It was sophisticated then, but it's not particularly popular now. Well, I just thought it would be nice to bring it back, because the bourbon was very popular then.
All right, so you're drinking bourbon.
Right, we're drinking bourbon. I started doing my wife's voice there for a minute, Mr. Henry.
I know, I got confused.
All right.
Right, so
we're drinking bourbon. I mean,
So Steve was drinking bourbon. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, okay, honey. So,
knock it off.
All right, so I turned the fire pit on, and no fire, no flames, no nothing. And I turned it on again. No fire, no flames, no nothing. I was getting a little PO'd at that point, and that's when I went ahead and I, you know, pushed away some of the rocks, take a look at the pipes and the pipe fittings. I wasn't sure what was wrong, but I went out to my truck and got a hammer because it looked like one of the fittings was not fitting properly. So I hammered it in good and tight.
Yeah.
And that's when I lit the fire pit, and it went to, you know, it started to light up. I actually had to put a piece of wood in there, though, to get that going. And I also soaked it in gasoline.
Wait a minute. You didn't get the fire pit. Was the gas lighting it?
The gas wasn't lighting it, so I wanted to give it a head start. You know,
you lit a piece of wood with gasoline and what else?
Well, with a match. Get a load of this guy.
I'm sure, Mr. Ernie, what did you think?
I heard you. So you lit this wood and you've got gas in there.
No, the gas wasn't working.
You said that it was.
I'm sorry. I meant to say what. So then I went up to the house to get another six pack of beer because I'd stopped and I'd gotten Sierra Nevada. And when I came down, the patio furniture was on fire.
That's the thing that made me very angry. A fire pit's not supposed to set fire to the furniture.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Okay. You know, it sounds to me like you started the fire, Dooley.
What are you talking about? You know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I do. First of all, you don't take a hammer to gas lines. Second of all, you put a piece of wood soaked in gasoline anywhere, and you're bound to have a big ball of fire, for God's sake.
Well, God, spit it out. Ball of fire.
You know, Dooley, for the right amount of money, I would drive to whatever cabin you're at now.
We rented a cabin down the road on Hinsler's Creek.
Are you still at Butner Lake?
It's not Butler Lake. It's Butner Lake.
Are you still there?
No, we're on Hinson's Creek.
But it's right across the street from Butner Lake. So we have a view of the creek, not the lake. Mr. Rennie?
I'm here. Go ahead.
So, and that's when the patio furniture caught on fire. And Bobby said, let's get out of here while the getting's good. Let's clear out. And I said, let's get out of here. And we both dove into my truck and took off.
Where were the boys?
Well, they're down the street at the Fisher's house, swimming in the lake off the dock.
All right, and so your cabin burned to the ground.
Yeah, it did. But fortunately, insurance, yeah. We're going to rebuild, and we're going to rebuild by next summer. And I'm going to add another 1,000 square feet. How does that feel?
That's what I love about my wife, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to add another 1,000 square feet. How does that feel?
Yeah, that's what I love about my wife. You know?
Yeah. You like the fact she's running you out of money? Another 1,000 square feet. Have you got enough money for it?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Well, it's insured.
It's insured? I'm not going to tell you what your insurance policy says. I don't know.
Bingo. Thank you. But,
that's what I love about my wife.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, way to do it there, Dooley. Your wife's going to run you out of house and home.
Well, I mean,
he's the one that started the fire.
All right, so you two people set fire to your cabin.
Not you two people. Steve.
Yeah, I was the one.
No, you two people.
Bobby, dear, I don't necessarily agree with Phil.
I hope not, because he's being extremely rude.
But I will tell you this. Steve was engaged in doing some very unsafe things there, and if you think the insurance company's going to pay on that, I doubt it.
And how do you know?
Look, Bobby.
No, I'm talking to Margaret.
I'll tell you how I know. Hammering the gas lines together, using a gasoline-soaked log, did the fire pit ever ignite? It never did.
Yes, it did ignite, I guess.
Well, they said, the fire department said that what really got the fire going was when the gas line got hit by the fire. And the
Bud, you might as well do it.
Gotta do a remote control gunshot.
Yeah.
So anyway, what we decided to do is go over here to Hintner Creek.
Well, Bobby, you had a home burned to the ground. The pictures that you posted on Twitter were absolutely frightening. You had an aerial shot of it.
What was the aerial shot there?
Oh, we took a helicopter tour of Butner Lake, and I said to Steve, let's do the... Steve, are you all right?
Yeah.
We said, let's do the helicopter tour of Butner Lake, and he said, okay. And while we were flying over the lake on the North Shore, we saw the cabin on fire.
And you didn't even stick around?
Well, the fire department was there.
Yeah, the fire department was there, Yeah!
And also the paramedics were there.
Who needed the paramedics?
Well, no one, but just in case. But we were gone, so...
I'm telling you right now, you are lucky to be alive. I saw those pictures.
The cabin was in flames. It looked like part of the forest was engulfed. And you could see this thing from the air for miles around.
Yeah, what's your point?
The point is, Bobby, you could have burned that whole forest down.
Well, we didn't. We're over at Hintner Creek, if anyone wants to know. And we're rebuilding by next summer, if anyone wants to know.
Yeah,
So that is where that's at, as you like to say,
Phil Hendry.
Yes, Mr. Hendry. That's where it's at.
All right, Bobby. I'd like to take a trip up there and take a look at the smoldering ruins. I'd like to do a column on it.
Oh, you would you? Well,
I don't mean anything bad by that, but I think people need to be educated.
About what?
About what two idiots will do when they're given a cabin.
How dare you?
Well, it's about time somebody said something. You're an idiot.
I want to hang up.
Go ahead.
Shut up, Steve. Anna.
That's two of the goofiest cats the world will ever know. I'm General Galen Shaw. Blow me.
The famous Phil Every Show at El Pacifico in Southern California, yeah.
What band is that? Slave?
That's Slave, yeah. It's called The Upgrade.
That's an upgrade, huh? I like that band, Slaves. Oh, Slaves, yeah. Steve Bozell is going to join us. Major events in the news over the weekend, one of which was a military coup in Turkey. General, did you see this?
I did see it, yes.
What is your read on that?
Yes, I want to get the general's... a military man... And a military coup overtaking the civilian government. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm an American military man, and I came up in this country, and we learned that the civilian is the ultimate power over the military. That's just the way it is. We may not like it. Some days we grouse about it. But the fact is, we have a civilian-run military in our country. The commander-in-chief is the president of the United States, a civilian. We learn very early on in our lives, and especially as members of the military, that your final duty is to the Constitution of the United States. And so the very idea of a military coup is anathema to any real, loyal, and patriotic military man in this country. Now, there's a lot of guys these days, and I've talked to a few of them. They all think they know better. And, well, you know, it's true, General, but, boy, we got a really bad situation. We need someone like this guy Trump. You know,
let's not, I don't want to get into this, okay? I don't want to get political.
God damn.
I don't want to get political. But you would agree, I think everybody agrees, even Mr. Trump, that a military government is not what America's all about.
Well, I don't know. What, you know, I'd say that 99.9% of the American people, yes, that's exactly how we feel. A military coup, a takeover of the U.S. government by the military is the ultimate act of treason and of betrayal. And I hope... Because I don't care I hope they take every leader of that military coup, line them up against a wall, and shoot to kill. Because,
oh my God, that's capital punishment.
Ooh, is it really? Because that's what they deserve.
Well, that's the traditional, you know, Margaret, that's the traditional punishment for this kind of, for treasonous behavior is, you know, firing squad.
Yeah, man, like a firing squad, like in that movie Pathway to Glory.
Yeah, did you see that?
Paths of Glory, not Pathway to Glory.
That's exist. I did see that. And that's what you get. When you betray your government, you betray your people and your unit. So,
And you would advocate the same thing for any Americans?
I'd gladly pull the trigger myself. Now, we got Steve Bozell on the phone, because apparently he had done some studying on this. I don't know what it is, Phil, or what you've got in mind.
Well, Steve Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California's frequent contributor to our program. And Mr. Bozell is on the line with us here from Corona and had been posting a few updates overnight as this coup was taking place. It started, I believe, on Saturday morning. Is that right, Steve?
Yes, sir. It started on Saturday morning, our time, and continued on well on into the nighttime and on into Sunday. By Sunday, though, they had pretty much got it under control.
And where did it begin?
Well, it began in Istanbul. It began in Ankara. But it also broke out in Istanbul as well, because Istanbul is a major airport and a major entryway and exitway, you know.
Not the innie and the outies.
Ow! Shut your mouth. All right, hey.
Yeah, well, I mean, you want to put it like dirty and everything.
All right, let's grow up.
Come on, grow up, will you, Bozell?
I'm grown up, all right? Look, I'm the one that covered this thing and wrote it all down for you.
I wasn't aware that you were covered. Go ahead.
So you weren't aware, because I was told that I'd be first up tonight, and I wasn't.
I wasn't aware that you're covering any go ahead and tell me about the Turkish coup.
All right, so I tweeted out at approximately, let me get my tweet up, on Friday night, because I can give you the right time about this, Mr. Henry, but the tweet that I sent out on the tweeter is as follows. Turkey is doing a military coup, and forgive me if I misspell it. I thought it was spelled C-O-U-P, and then I did...
It is. That's what it's spelled.
Well, I had to double-check, and I went with C-O-O.
What? C-O-O? That's not how you spell it.
Oh, you're trying to... Wow, are you trying to tell me you know how to spell coup?
Yeah. C-O-O-P or
C-O-U-P.
But how do you spell it?
I think you guys may want to double-check. It's C-O-O.
No, it isn't C-O-O. Don't tell me you actually wrote that.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I wrote, Turkey is doing a military coup, C-O-O, and forgive me, okay?
Why would you think it's C-O-O?
Because coup is like cooing in your ear. Like, it's a coup, military coup, like they're in your ear saying they're going to do it. I mean, if I'm wrong...
Yeah, you're wrong, Steve.
All right, well...
It's not the worst thing. So anyway, what else did you write?
All right, so I wrote... Turkey. I spelled Turkey two different ways: T-U-R-K-E-Y, and then the way that you spell the bird, T-U-R-K-Y.
No, you don't spell the bird that. I think you spell the bird the same way.
No, you can't. One of them's a country, the other one's a bird.
Well, one's a country, and the other is almost like a chicken. You know.
That's fine, and I don't want to know. And don't tell me. And just what about the tweet?
All right, so. I said, Turkey is doing a military coup, and forgive me if I misspelled that. Again, Turkey is doing a military coup.
And forgive you if you misspelled that.
Right.
How did you spell it?
C-O-O.
So twice you spelled it C-O-O.
Yeah, you're right. I wanted to spell one time C-O-O-P, and then the other time C-O-O. And then another time I wanted to spell C-O-U, or C-E-A-U.
Well, that, oh.
I mean.
Go ahead.
So I said, Turkey's doing a military coup. And my information is, I mean, it's nuts.
And you're, I don't understand it.
I said, my information is, it's, I mean, nuts.
So it's going nuts.
Yeah.
All right, I mean, well.
Well, I mean, what are you trying to say?
Don't say, man, your reporting blows a hot dog, man.
Yeah, not just a dog, a hot dog.
Man, you know, there's no information there. A coup, C-O-O, and it's nuts. Well, what else happened?
I can tell you that I've seen that they, when they finally put the coup down, they arrested all these military officers. And another thing they did is they arrested a lot of people. I just heard now that they've arrested 6,000 people. And they're all going to go up in front of a firing squad. So, you happy, Mr. Henry?
No, look, man, until we get the information on this coup and who is behind it and what the reality and the truth of this thing is, I'm not going to be happy about anything.
Let me tell you something. If these people are guilty of disloyalty and treason to the nation, and these are military officers who are sworn to uphold and defend their country, you better believe they deserve a firing squad. Don't you tell me anything different.
Oh, my God. So that's just what it's going to do.
What?
You just...
Steve, you should know better than to argue with a military man on this. General Shaw is quite clear.
Well, what do you think, Ms. Gray?
I abhor violence, so I would reserve judgment myself. I imagine these men should have known what they were getting into before they got to do it.
Well, I think it's a terrible thing, because you know Turkey, Mr. Henry. That's where Brad Davis got, well, I shouldn't say, but in the movie Midnight Express, Turkey is the country that Midnight Express took place in. And Brad Davis was an American who had been arrested for trying to, I guess, smuggle hashish out of the country. And he wound up getting, butt hammered by the warden of the prison.
What the hell is he talking about?
Oh, it was a movie that was done. It's based on a true story.
A true story?
Yeah, some kid.
Brad Davis plays this guy. I don't know whether everything in the movie is true, but he is a hashish dealer. He's arrested. He's put in prison. He escaped from this Turkish prison, I think, was the big upshot of this thing. But, yeah, there were scenes of rape, and it wasn't very pleasant.
Yeah, well, I mean, this guy, by the time that guy, he was doing it with John Hurt. And
what do you mean he was doing it with John Hurt?
John Hurt was in the movie playing a character.
Yeah.
What, really, John Hurt?
Yeah, it was.
It was John Hurt the actor. Thanks a lot, Steve. We appreciate very much you being with us.
Well, all right, but I just want you to know a military coup has taken place.
Yeah, COO.
Well, you know, they...
Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, ladies and gentlemen, and we thank you very much, Steve, for being a part of our program. It's always interesting. It's always fascinating. It's always just, it's always real gitchy, man. I'll tell you that much. Jesus.
That guy is a military coup.
I also want to thank Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley for being with us. I think the voice held up pretty good, Mark, don't you?
It did. I think it'll be better tomorrow night and better the following night and better the following night, yes.
Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
Yeah! All right, don't forget to get your year-long backstage pass. Head over to philhenryshow.com, and you'll get the entire Best of Digital Download for free, as well as your $25 Amazon gift card. Paying you, baby, to be a member of the Phil Henry Show BSP family.
I said, let me tell you, are we on the air still?
Yeah, I got the line patched in and everything.
Why, you dirty little...